Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.
And we are back about 2 minutes before 11 o'clock, 367-1240, our phone number. If you have a question or a comment for our next guest in studio, we try and keep the phone calls consistent with the guest and topic. But if there is something of note that you think the audience needs to hear sooner than later, don't hesitate to give us a call on that. As well as we welcome in Herf Jones with the Mosquito Abatement District here in Iberia Parish. Been probably a year since we had you in studio. It's that time of year again, though, isn't it?
Yes, Jeff, exactly. Thanks so much for having me. We're here, of course, in conjunction with the National Mosquito Awareness Week, which started Sunday, run through July 1st. And the governor of Louisiana and the Iberia Parish president have declared this week Pelee Mosquito Week. To also bring about the attention that we like folks to take when it comes to mosquito control, what we do, and also what they can do themselves to prevent exposure to excessive mosquito bites. Few people know that mosquitoes are the deadliest animal on the planet.
Yeah.
More than 750,000 deaths are attributed to mosquitoes each year, even more than sharks, bears, poisonous snakes, and spiders.
Yeah, it's more than just them being an annoyance or an occasional itch. It is the spreading of disease, and you know that's what we've heard so much about, whether it's for us, West Nile virus going back 20 or so years, and this most recent concern about Zika and those kind of things. It's really more about just defeating the itch.
Yeah, absolutely. There are pathogens carried by these vectors which carry with it not only morbidity and mortality, but lifelong consequences. And with the newest emergence of Zika and dengue and other viruses such as this, we do have some untoward or very unsavory outcomes as it relates to pregnant mothers and their newborn babies being affected by Zika virus in particular.
Yeah, and it's not just human beings, but they're no friend to your pets and livestock either.
Very true. Mosquitoes do carry a filarial worm, heartworms that can affect our domestic pets, in particular dogs, for sure. They are also a mechanical transport for Chagas, which also affects dogs and cats. And also, they are a huge annoyance to our agricultural livestock and can reduce their beef production, their milk production, their weight, and also their interaction with their male-female counterparts. And also encephalitis definitely is a major factor for our horses, our other veterinary component, in this dead-end host scenario.
Real good. So what are we doing about it? Tell us a little bit about the Mosquito Abatement District here in Iberia Parish, and I know you want to remind folks how they can protect themselves.
Well, absolutely. We've been around as a public agency of Iberia Parish government since 2006. So we have, been at it for quite some time, have achieved a high level of experience here in the parish, in a awareness of where our populations are coming from and the circumstances and situations in which they tend to have explosive populations come off. So to address that, we have regular ground routine operations with our spray trucks. We also do have an aerial program in which we can address a tremendous amount of acreage that we cannot get to by truck or by foot. We also have extensive crews that are working to address the aquatic form of the mosquito in its aquatic habitat in its juvenile stage, which is also very important. Our spray season started this year, late April. We've already had some weather events which have attributed to some extensive populations, and to date we have probably treated over 100,000 acres by air and three times that from the ground. We do have plans to have aerial operations related to the July 4th weekend coming up, but you know, Mother Nature is not dealing us a plain, obvious hand here. We don't know what's going to happen with the rain from evening to evening, so that'll be a moment to moment, a day by day decision there.
Yeah, it's both rain and wind, I believe you got to deal with.
Absolutely, the weather and meteorological conditions in which we can safely apply our materials is very strict, and you know, it's important because we want it to be effective, and we also have to control exactly where that spray is going to deposit. As we watch the weather, we hope to be able to do some exercises that will make the upcoming holiday weekend pleasant for everyone. But we do want to get the message out that everyone can participate in taking care of themselves in the event that we do not get to do our abatement exercises. And that is simply applying approved repellents that you can find in the sporting or camping sections of any outlet, whether it be CVS, Walmart, or Walgreens. They all have an extensive variety of repellents that can be applied safely to two-year-olds or older. And we like the adults to apply the repellents for the young ones. But the mom and dad, don't forget to, you know, take care of yourself as well, especially on your exposed skin. And if you have to be out when mosquitoes are most active, we like you to wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and pants that are lightweight. And also try to avoid wearing heavy perfumes and what have you if you're going to be outdoors, because the insects, the mosquitoes, are very much attracted to that.
I know there are some scents they are not attracted to, in fact, inhibit theirs. Tell us about some of those other outdoor ways that you might inhibit mosquitoes in your backyard and such.
Well, there are a few naturally occurring plants, one of those being lemongrass, and a lemon of eucalyptus. Those oils and phenols which are in those plant extracts, mosquitoes are adverse to that. We also have some citronella candles as well that can be placed away from where you're having your outdoor activity or your outdoor picnic. Put those on the perimeter so the mosquitoes are attracted to that area, and it can they will be drawn away from where you're having your activity.
Yeah, I remember, and I'm sure you and I have talked about it at some point, but I once found a case of like logs, like fireplace logs, but for outdoor fireplaces, and those had those scents that would distract. They were great, and I haven't seen them since. You know, I don't know if those are out there, but maybe I'm not checking the right stores, but they stopped carrying them where I bought them. But those were great. You want a little fire pit outside, and you got these logs. Really, I'd add one with maybe other logs,
yeah.
You know, so I didn't burn through those all in one night. But I found those very effective.
Absolutely. Those, they did have some with some natural extracts, such as the lemon of eucalyptus and also the lemongrass extract, those types of phenols as well. And they also had some with active ingredients like what we call alethrin. And hunters use it extensively in their Thermacell products, which they use in their deer stands, and duck blinds, which is emits a chemical which is acts as a repellent. And it does work in small areas. And then, of course, if you're burning it, you're able to emit a larger plume, if you
right,
will,
right, right.
Of that scent. And then our suggestion is always to try to put those type of items, even if you're just burning candles, such as the garden torches and stuff like that, put that on the perimeter away from where you are, and the insects will be naturally drawn to that area to investigate it, and they'll, you know, hopefully be repelled from your area. We also suggest having a box fan because mosquitoes,
oh, yeah.
mosquitoes are very small, and so if we have a nice breeze blowing across our picnic table or our outdoor cocktail area, it will, you know, forcibly push the mosquitoes in a different direction.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you might be more comfortable, too. Just the airflow this time of year especially might be a nice convenience. But no doubt about it. Want to talk about a little bit about puddles, too, those kind of things you can do to make your neighborhood
sure.
And maybe a collective effort within your neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we are a rural parish, so we do have a lot of roadside drainage features, and it's very important for those roadside drainage features to stay clear. That's not the place for our clippings. That's not the place for our trash. It's not the place for items that we're trying to discard. The parish has an excellent, you know, a parish-wide program to pick up those articles, the trash and debris like that. All you have to do is call, you know, the parish courthouse. They'll tell you when and where to put those things out. We need to keep those roadside drainages clear. Because when they're clear, they will drain properly. They will also reduce the opportunity for mosquitoes to propagate near residential areas and near the home. We certainly want you to remove any type of container or vessel that will hold water because mosquitoes only need a very small amount of water to propagate hundreds of individuals.
And not much time.
And not much time at all, especially in the summertime. They can go from larvae to adult in 72 hours with the high temperatures we have, the long days, and the high humidity. So turn over buckets, empty out small pools that the kids are playing in the backyard. Just simply turn those over so they don't have an opportunity to collect water. If you have old tires and what have you, we have had several parish cleanup days where we are accepting old tires. So let's get those out of the backyard, from behind the shed, from leaning up against the garage, and eliminate all sources of capacity to have standing water near the home. And we can rid most of the residential mosquito problems by just getting rid of their places to breed.
There you go. Now, obviously, you guys can't be on every street every night. What kind of schedule do you guys run, or is it mainly based on what you're finding in traps, those kind of things?
Right. We have at least 30 surveillance sites that we're looking at weekly. And, yes, our abatement operations, our spraying operations are guided by what we find in those traps. And those are the areas that we target first, because we have to target the area where the mosquitoes are most abundant, and we also find out what type of mosquito is in that surveillance. So that's another reason why we have to prioritize where we spray. But if we have weather conditions which are conducive Monday through Friday, we have more than enough capability to cover the entire parish by road Monday through Friday. And that's our plan, you know, to have routine Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday spraying. That takes care of the parish by the ground, and then it's augmented and supplemented by aerial operations when the surveillance indicates that that's necessary.
There you go. What can residents do when they recognize a problem, or if they believe there's a problem? What kind of services can you do by request of the citizens?
Well, we ask that anyone that has any concern or issue related to mosquito control or mosquito problems to give our office a call at 365-4933, Monday through Friday. We can come out to the resident, to the location, and inspect it and make a determination of what we can do to rectify the situation. We have residential requests spraying for events, parties, outdoor activities, for ball games, church activities, school activities, and just folks that are having excessive mosquito problem at their home. Give us a call. We have the equipment and the personnel ready to go. That's a part of our job as a mosquito control district for the parish. It's free to the citizens, and they can call as often as they'd like. We can also take a look at standing water issues and do treatments to abate those situations as well. We work in a cooperative manner with all the other agencies in the parish, in particular Public Works, and we work on several projects together to eliminate, do source reduction, if you will, to eliminate those propagation areas that we identify throughout the parish, which being in a coastal parish, obviously, is quite more, than being a land-bound parish, which would have, a lot of concrete and a lot of inner city area.
No doubt. So, again, the website, iberiaparishgovernment.com, has a link to mosquito control numbers, other information on it. So if residents do have some concerns, plenty of opportunity to find a way to get in touch.
Right. They can, even if they call after hours, we have a auto attendant there that you can leave a detailed message with. Our email address is ipmc@iberiagov.net, and they can always click on the link for Iberia Parish Government at the bottom right for mosquito control, and there's a link there to leave a request for service.
There you go. Anything else you want to talk about today before we let you go? How has, obviously we talked about it being a warm winter. Did that affect anything?
Well, we actually were anticipating probably an escalated season based on our historical data that we had for this year, but for the previous year, excuse me. But this year is actually turned out to be a different picture. We've because of the warm winter and because of the late season heavy rain that we had in the previous August, and the rain scenarios that we've had early on has kind of suppressed our major disease population, the southern house mosquito, which is the encephalitis primary vector, has depressed those populations below what we call a vector index. Currently, we haven't had any indication of virus activity within those populations, and those population numbers are well below what we've seen historically, which would indicate us having a very active West Nile season. So we still have a long way to go, but that's what we're seeing right now. We would like for it to stay in that circumstance, but we're prepared to address that situation however it might turn out in the months remaining.
There you go. I've heard in the past, and I'm not sure if it's myth or there is some basis for it, the idea of attracting certain birds, doing things to attract certain birds that tend to eat mosquitoes.
Right. Purple martins would probably be that you've heard of specifically, which is all a part of nature's grand scheme. The mosquitoes are in the food chain for a purpose. But we certainly, folks would love to have mosquitoes eradicated, to zero. But then hunters would miss out on a lot of flying game. They would miss out on all of the fishing, especially the freshwater topwater feeding type fish and what have you. So mosquitoes do play a role, and other animals do play a role as a predator-prey situation. But that's a balance, and nature maintains that balance. And though certain birds may consume mosquitoes, those birds are not going to consume enough mosquitoes to make a significant dent in the population, if you will. And same thing for bats, same thing for geckos and what have you. Yes, that's their purpose, but the balance of nature is still going to be maintained in their ability to consume mosquitoes.
Gotcha. That does lead me, and just talking about birds reminded me as well, used to be a way to identify possible problems with disease if you found certain varieties of birds dead in your lawn who just seemed to fall out of the sky for no reason.
Right. The viral cycle for West Nile virus birds were the initial reservoir for the virus in which the mosquito would interact with the birds and pick up the virus and therefore cycle it within that bird-mosquito cycle. And then when the viremia within the vector would increase to a certain point, then it could spin off into dead-end host. Initially, when West Nile first came to the United States, yes, dead birds were an indication that there was virus present, but that was back in 1999, year 2000 for Louisiana. So the virus is endemic or is a part of our nature, our everyday natural environment. So mortality in birds that you see occasionally is not a new indication of virus because we already know that
it's around.
The virus is here. And there's many causes that we may see mortality in what we call passerine birds that feed on the ground that aren't necessarily in the high foliage of high trees like corvids, like crows, and stuff like that.
Is it still something you want people to report if they discover?
Sure. You know, it's okay for them to give us a call and report that to us. We do document that. We don't necessarily spend a lot of time with testing or resources in testing those birds. But if they'd like to give us a call and they are fearful of handling the bird, give us a buzz. And we can send a person by to pick it up. But other than that, it can be disposed with a freezer bag or a garbage bag. Just pick it up and throw it away. You don't have to be fearful that you would contract something from the carcass of the dead bird.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Anything else we want to share before we let you go?
Well, look out. We would like folks, especially the young folks, to look out for our printed materials and our displays in the local libraries at the main branch for sure. And I know we will be moving some displays around in the Coteau Library, the Generet Library, Lauraville, and they'll have some activities for the kids to take home and to also some literature to take back to their parents and remind them about draining and emptying those water containers around the home so we can eliminate that mosquito breeding near the home.
Gotcha. Has there been any prediction for this year's, for a better term, West Nile season kind of a thing, apart from what you've already suggested?
No, just pretty much what I mentioned earlier. Though we were expecting the scenario to be a little bit more active for the West Nile season, weather conditions and circumstances have depressed those vector populations at this point. And if we get out another 30, 45 days, we'll be on the bulk of the transmission season, and we don't expect much human occurrence at that point.
There you go. But always be vigilant in protecting yourself.
Absolutely. It only takes one mosquito bite, and here in southwest coastal Louisiana, we have an abundance of mosquitoes and abundance of opportunity to interact with them. So let's do our part to try to avoid that. Once again, repellents are easily accessible. They have powder, lotion forms, dry forms. It's no longer that oily, greasy, smelly orange can of repellent. There's a lot of other types to use that we can take that protective measure to help ourselves out.
Trying to remember something you had brought in one of our previous conversations. It was almost like some sort of device that sent out like a sonar or something that discouraged mosquitoes.
Right, and still proven to be very effective. It's still a product that's put out by Johnson & Johnson. It's a off product. It actually... it's called a clip-on.
Mm-hmm.
It would clip to your belt, or you could rest it at your lawn chair, and it's very effective for about a 5 to 10 square foot area. And it did have an active ingredient that it was admitted by
okay.
a battery-operated fan.
Gotcha, yes. Gotcha. Cool. So anyway, a lot of different options out there, and like you say, make sure it's child-friendly, too. You say 2 and above. Pretty much any of it's safe, but
repellents are right for 2-year-olds or older. Always follow the label instructions and read the label instructions, and we'd like the parents to apply the repellents for the young ones.
There you go. Herf, always a pleasure. Stay in touch with us throughout the summer and into. I know your office does shoot the press releases, especially when you're doing the aerial spraying, but keep us up to date.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.